Here we go. We're here in the studio today with Phil Klein, who is, I say we, Ellen Thurston, the great Ellen Thurston, and me, the humble Tom DiPietro, once again, trying to entertain you. Emphasis on trying. But we have a guest who we're pre-recording. So this isn't live today, but it's live. I mean, recording it live, of course, but you're going to hear it later. Anyway, Ellen, can you explain what it is Phil Klein is going to do? Since you're, you know, you're kind of, you have like an interest in this, an extra radio interest.
I do. I'm going to read a paragraph here because it says it all.
Phil Klein, it's always very entertaining to read on air. Yeah, I agree.
Phil Klein is a composer.
Oh. No.
Yes. by profession, and he has created a composition called Unsilent Night. So this will tell you. It takes the form of an interactive holiday street parade with participants from the public taking place by playing one of the four musical tracks through a portable music player of his or her choosing. The effect creates an ethereal soundscape that Time Out New York describes as one of the loveliest communal new music experiences you'll ever encounter. And each performance is truly one of a kind.
Is this, I thought you were finished.
Unsilent Night debuted in Greenwich Village in 1992 and has grown to worldwide acclaim, playing in 100 cities across the continents. And this year in Hudson, Unsilent Night is going to be part of Winter Walk.
And WGXC is going to air it all, right? That's us.
That's right. This is done in cooperation with radio station WGXC, so people can hear it at the culmination of it, I believe, when the procession coming from Front Street to 7th Street Park for the final, what is the final?
Well, before that, there's a big question on everybody's mind, Ellen. Is this part of the War on Christmas?
Well, we'll have to ask
it's
Phil
on
Klein.
Warren Street.
Anyway, let's ask Phil Klein how Unsilent Night came about.
Well, Unsilent Night is like a vestige of old New York. I came up musically part of like what they call the downtown music scene. Most of us all wore black and never went above 14th Street.
Ellen's familiar with that. She was once part of that.
That's right.
And earlier, she was more of a beatnik period, you know?
It so happened I was doing, I guess what you could call performance art, was these solo music performances where my basic medium was boomboxes, but dozens of them. I would, you know, do things with tape loops and whatever, making some pretty amazing noise and sort of making a life of it. And one of the very first things I decided to do was write a piece that was basically orchestral, where everything was pre-recorded, but the cassettes would be different. Cassettes. Mm-hmm. Do I have to explain? I probably have to explain. Back in the Stone Age, we had these little plastic cartridges of tape that we would put in our cassette recorders and our cassette machines. Anyhow, I had 24 boomboxes, and I wrote this piece that was 45 minutes long, which is to say one side of a 90-minute cassette. And it was I made a piece that had like 60 parts in it, and then I made mixes of it. So everybody would have a slightly different tape, and so as you heard it, the music, the sound would move around, it would surround you, it would change. And one very cold night in 1992, we assembled in Greenwich Village and hit play, and I have to admit, it was one of the most amazing and surprising things I ever heard. I couldn't believe how great it sounded outside. It just really does surround you. You don't know where the sound is coming from.
Part of your, let's call it your aesthetic, is, you know, all these tracks. There was a time, of course, when tape recording had a very limited amount of tracks, right? I mean, it was only a couple on a single tape.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, I think you can do a lot more in terms of tracks, but that's just online.
Well,
or
with digital recording
you
at
can
home,
do it endless.
It's infinite. Yeah.
My next question is: I don't know your music, so is the result trying to be what people call noise music, or are you looking for harmonies and things that are more pleasing sounds?
I love noise, but I also believe in beauty. So they're both part of a continuum as far as I'm concerned. I've heard beautiful noise and I've heard disgusting noise. I've also heard beautiful things that make me want to run away. I try to... Actually, the thing that amazes me about this piece is that I think out of the maybe 5,000 people I've... Maybe more than that, probably more like 10 or 15,000 people that I've encountered doing Unsilent Night around the world... I don't think any of them ever said anything negative about it, except for an English lady in Northern England who said I was making fun of Christmas.
So that's the answer to my earlier question. She was like, it's part of the war on Christmas.
A Monty Python thing. Oh, he's making fun of English Christmas. I think it's cute. Whatever. No, it was great. It was great.
But this sounds like a great communal event that everybody can participate in one way or another, and to be surrounded by this sound must be quite amazing.
Yeah, you're part of an almost infinite orchestra. It really surrounds you, and everybody's taking part. The audience is the performance. So.
Is this a limitless amount of audience? I mean, participants?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been done, as a matter of fact, for some reason it's been very popular in Canada, and especially the further north you get, for a couple of years, Whitehorse, Yukon, was doing Unsilent Night, and they would get like six people. They're the only place that ever had to cancel an Unsilent Night because of the weather. It was 30 below, and the cassettes wouldn't move. But so we've had a handful of people. I took part in one in Atlanta once where they might have had 20 people at best. Mm-hmm. And then in New York, where we've had as many as maybe 1,500. San Francisco routinely has 400 or 500. It doesn't matter. You can actually make a fabulous sound with 12.
Have you in any fashion monetized this piece?
No, ordinary citizens, you know, people who just want to do it, and you know, we have a website, you know, you can reach out to us.
What's your website, by the way?
It's unsilentnight.com.
That's right on spot.
Yeah, right on the spot. Because if people just want to do it with their friends, whatever, it's always free. We have them sign a license agreement, which basically says first of all, that you won't charge for it. You can never charge money for Unsilent Night, and that you can't. Whatever, we just have to protect certain things that, you know, to...
Right, you don't want someone else trying to make money off it.
Well, to protect the event, and also you can't do this with it, you can't, you know, you can't advertise it in conjunction with blah, blah, blah. On the other hand, then at a point I started getting contacted by professional music organizations, and I thought to myself, well, first of all, I've got bills to pay, and I've got assistants to pay, and running on Silent Night is not free, and it occurred to me, if I'm going to work with pros, it should be a professional agreement. So in certain cities, they do pay me. It's a licensing fee.
Oh.
But how did it evolve into when it had to get beyond tapes, or when it did get beyond tapes? How did that happen?
The main, I tried putting it on CDs, but then I realized walking with a CD player is really, it doesn't work too well.
I know. I remember trying to run with one. Back
They bounce, they skip.
Yeah, terrible.
They don't track correctly.
Yeah.
So, how long ago was it now? 6-7 years ago. We started developing an Unsilent Night app, which is now available. I mean, it's been available for years now, both through iTunes or through whatever Android connection you have. We have both versions. And the Unsilent Night app does a pretty good job of simulating the choices you'd have with a cassette. It tells you how the piece works, and then you press play, and it selects a track for you. And not only does it select one of four tracks, but there are different versions of those four tracks. Mm. So there's like 12 possibilities. And with each track, some of them are a little slower and some of them are a little faster. So it kind of simulates what happens if you have 1,000 boomboxes, no two of them will run exactly alike. I mean, if you know, remember cassette machines, they you know. So the app works very well. And then the main challenge is to get your phones to be a little louder. Phones will make a sound, but if you get one of those little Bluetooth speakers, you can really blast with them.
Have previous performances often been a part of events like Winter Walk? You know,
There are a few towns. The first one was Middlesbrough, Northern England. Real good, good smokestack football town kind of play. I mean, I grew up in Cleveland. I know smokestack football towns.
Yeah, Cleveland. Harvey Pekar.
Yeah.
Wait, huh?
Cleveland, it's like so beautiful, so sad. But they embraced it as a civic enterprise. Those socialists in England, they actually, the town paid for it, brought me over every year. It's amazing. I would spend part of my Christmas in Middlesbrough every year. Oh, that's where I got the English, like, hey, you're making fun of English Christmas. Cambridge, Ontario has made a big thing out of it. They decided to have a big winter festival, and they call it On Silent Night now. They've sort of built it around the piece. Mm. So those are the two towns where I actually, it's a civic relationship between me and the official town. Otherwise, it's either music organizations or just private citizens.
So, Ellen, once again, we should explain what, how this event's going to work, where it's going to happen.
Yep.
What day is Winter Walk?
Saturday.
Saturday, December 3rd. I thought you were going to let me tell about it. That's what made me pause. Okay. Anyway, Winter Walk started 20 years ago as a community event, and it was two blocks long, and it's grown and grown and grown. So now the police tell us anyway that the crowd is like 20,000 people. So for a city of about 6,000 population, it's kind of stressful in its way, but wonderful. And
only to Ellen, because she doesn't tell you, but she ran it for many years.
I was about to. Anyway, yes, I've seen it grow over the years, and constantly trying to find new things to put into Winter Walk. And then I hear about Unsilent Night, and I think, oh boy, this is it. And Phil was good enough to go along with this. So
and you twisted my arm, come on.
Unsilent and Silent Night is 20 years old. This is their 20th.
25.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're 20. You're 25. That's
this is
right.
What, our silver anniversary? Or?
I think we're emeralds or something. but it seems to me like the perfect thing for Winter Walk, and I hope a lot of people will come out and participate in it, and they can find the instructions for how to use it. You don't have to register or sign up for it. We just hope people will show up around 4 o'clock on December 3rd.
And where will they get those instructions, Ellen?
And they will get it on the Internet.
I should. I can add. I can add a little bit too.
Phil's going to tell us.
It's unsilentnight.com, and on that website, unsilentnight.com, you can get just about any kind of information, including the calendar of everyone that's going on in the world this year, and also how to do On Silent Night. As I said, there's an app, so you can run your phone or any device that's capable of running an app, but if you bring an old-fashioned boombox, I will be bringing cassettes. I will also be bringing, approximately 25 or 30 of my own boomboxes, which I might let some of y'all use. So,
will it fit on the golf cart? Because you have to be able to transport your amplification as well.
Yes, as a matter of fact, one of the great things we used to have in New York was this guy who had a Cushman cart, like a golf cart, and he put a pretty nice compact system on it, and so he would really boom the bass, and he would ride along with it, and it made the piece sound so great. Unfortunately, he moved to Portland, and he's been riding his golf cart.
What Ellen's trying to tell you is that she rides a golf cart during the event because she's a big cheese.
Right. And you can carry a boombox, or better yet, get somebody to install a little system
speaker
on that.
System.
Yeah.
Right. It would be great.
Yeah, you could really go down. You know how some of the people drive down Warren Street with those the bass lines going crazy?
I do.
You could
know.
Be it. You could be it. Put on a little bling. People say, hey, Ellen's
there
with it.
There she goes. So all are welcome, and they either need a phone and the app. Or boombox or anything else they might
If they
use.
Bring a boombox, I'll give them a cassette. I'll bring a few of my own boomboxes, but with a crowd that large, they'll go in a second. And any smart, basically phones, any smart device that can play an app.
And you're going to be conducting, quote unquote, is that right?
It basically comes down to saying, is everybody ready? Is anybody not ready? Okay, I'm going to count to three, and then I'll say go. When I say go, we start. One, two, three, go.
Well, I always thought, I envisioned that you would say, okay, exactly that. But what if people lag behind and don't, can't find the button?
Not much can be done about that. Well, usually people in the crowd will say, oh, it's over there. One thing that does happen every year, it's the only, other than traffic, especially in New York City, the only thing that makes me nervous is that batteries inevitably run out. And I test them to make sure they're all there, but in 45 minutes, they might not be all there anymore.
So bring some extra batteries, folks.
Well, not even that so much as once the piece is started. I mean, what happens is that at the end, there will inevitably be somebody whose box is starting to just go and slowing down. Mm. And so I have to be sort of ready for that. And when I notice that, I come over to them and I whisper, you're way late, so just turn it down. So we don't have, you know, so right. we don't all have to wait an extra 5 minutes for somebody to.
So they show up at Basilica, right?
I think we meet at Basilica, then we're going to walk over to the foot of Warren Street, because if we walked from the Basilica, we wouldn't make it to 7th Street on time.
Right. So this has all been timed very carefully.
Yeah, you have to time it to a walk.
You show up at 4 o'clock and get instructions on what's going to happen. And then you walk over to Front Street, and then you push the button you're told, hit play, and walk. How slowly are we walking as we go up?
Just follow us.
You would have been entertained, Philip. There was a local performance of a noise artist who played cassettes on a small 45 turntable. He actually refitted the needle.
Kids do the darndest things.
So it was two outmoded technologies playing together, making a true noise experience.
I know. I always find it amusing that I sort of like came up with this whole cassette trope just as the whole thing was dying out.
Yeah.
You know?
So what's your other music like? What kind of music do you?
I sort of do everything. I mean, I do sound installations. Yeah. I've written for film and television. Yeah. I write a lot for instruments or combinations of instruments and electronics. These days, I've been doing a lot of theatrical pieces, including, you know, like you might call them operas.
And you're writing an opera, so I hear.
Yeah. Actually, working on two or three pieces that could be. Yeah, but there's one big one that is about Nikola Tesla that I'm working on. But that'll operas take forever. What can I tell you?
Maybe, who's your librettist?
The librettist is me. The story is by me and Jim Jarmusch, the filmmaker. Yeah. And he is contributing film and visual elements. We sort of came up with this plot ourselves, and we worked on the story together. I'm more or less responsible for the words that people actually sing. And we'll have more to say about that in about 2 years.
So we're also fortunate to have Phil's daughter here, Clementine. Have you ever participated in one of the Unsilent Nights?
I have, mainly for my whole life. I started when I was about 2 months old.
2 months? You could hold a boombox at 2 months?
Well, the first time, I was in a stroller, and then I was in a wagon, and now I just walk.
Nice. And do you like doing it?
It's really fun.
Have you encouraged other kids to do it?
Well, a lot of times I bring my friends.
That's a good thing.
We usually have quite a few families with us, a lot of children. So it is, what can I say, fun for all ages? Or?
And then it ends up at 7th Street Park, where hopefully a big crowd will be waiting to hear the ending of this Unsilent Night.
Is there an upgrade for the Santa's workshop?
There is an upgrade, yes.
Oh, sweet. You should check that out, Clementine. It's pretty cool.
Santa's Village.
Santa's Village, yeah. Done by designers. It's not your grandpop's Christina's Village. This is hip.
Well, Phil, we're so excited that you're here. I think it's just going to be a great addition to Winter Walk.
I'm looking forward to it.
On December 3rd, folks.
December
Saturday,
3rd.
December 3rd.
You gather, if you want to participate, you gather at Basilica at 4 o'clock. Basilica, of course, you know, is down on Front Street. And then start at the bottom of Warren Street and walk up the street. And if you want to know more about how to participate, go to unsilentnight.com. Couldn't be easier. It'll give you all the information on how it works, what's it about, how you can participate.
And if you still have questions, you can call the Opera House at 822-1438.
And if you still have questions, you call Ellen at, what's your number again, Ellen?
And you'll be able to hear this on WGXC.org.
That's right. Let's not forget that.
If
we're a participant.
Not, coming to Winter Walk.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Phil.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you on the 3rd.
Cool.